Well, one of the most pressing questions of our modern times is, can men and women actually have platonic friendships, or is that an impossible thing for most people? Bill Derezowitz writes about it in the New York Times today, and it's a topic of his book, A Jane Austen Education. He joins me now to finally give us the answer. Bill, welcome to the program.
Thanks.
So tell me, can most men and women here in America really just be friends?
Yeah, I think they can. I think that there's a really wide gap between what we tell ourselves and what we actually do in our lives. Because as I look around, I mean, I've had friends, girls, women, ever since I was in high school. And I think most people I know, and I think most people in general have them too. But we have this persistent idea that, oh, it's impossible because, as Harry famously says, and when Harry met Sally, the sex thing always gets in the way.
Well, you know, there's friends, and then there's, you know, real friends. You've got Facebook friends and all kinds of definitions of that word. Is there a certain openness that can occur between male and male friendships that may not be able to happen between men and women?
You know, I mean, I think friendships are different, and I think friendships between men, between women, and between men and women are probably each different. But I don't think that you can't have the same level of friendship, of, say, mental or emotional intimacy. Look, sometimes the sex thing gets in the way. Sometimes it gets in the way, and people get it out of the way. I mean, I think when you're younger, you know, when I think about the friends that I had in high school or college, sometimes there were people that I fooled around with. But, you know, you sort of get it out of the way, and then it's not an issue anymore. And then sometimes I don't think it's an issue to begin with. You know, you're not always attracted, or it's just not what it's about, or you don't want to mess up the friendship, so you don't act on it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I mean, I think that's a very common experience for people, but we just don't talk about it.
Now, your piece in the New York Times talks about the fact that in traditional societies, the idea of men and women having a platonic relationship is considered completely unrealistic. In fact, when you look at some Middle Eastern countries, unmarried, unrelated men and women really aren't even supposed to be in the same room together alone. Does that not speak to at least their underlying belief that this is really not possible?
Yeah, look, I think in traditional societies in general, whether that's societies that are still traditional or Western society before a couple of hundred years ago, and in fact, probably a lot more recently than that, these friendships were not possible. It has to do with men and women being equal, and it has to do also with the kinds of, not only being equal, but sort of working and going to school together on familiar terms, and also with the kinds of changes in people's attitudes that happen after a while when men and women are equal. So, you know, yeah, absolutely. I think the notion of friendship between men and women is completely unthinkable, probably even in most societies or many societies to this day.
I'm talking to Bill Derezowitz. You can find his piece on this topic in the New York Times today, and also he's the author of the book, A Jane Austen Education, How Six Novels Taught Me About Love, Friendship, and Things That Really Matter. Now, Bill, you write that a woman known as the mother of feminism in the late 18th century was not a big believer in platonic relationships herself, although she did view them, friendship, as being a key to a working marriage.
Right.
Was it just at the time society was not ready to accept that kind of a real idea of just simply a platonic relationship between men and women?
Well, not ready to accept it. You're talking about a woman named Mary Wollstonecraft. Not ready to accept it. And also, she herself was, you know, thought that if you went down that road, platonic friendship, you were going to get in trouble. Let's remember, there was no viable contraception. There was no real possibility of divorce. It was totally unacceptable to have premarital sex. So she was saying, listen, it's too dangerous. But the reason I mention her is that I think she does start us down the road, because she starts to talk about how friendship is necessary for a good marriage, which was really revolutionary then. And once we started to accept the idea that husband and wife should be friends, eventually I think we got to the point where we said, well, maybe men and women can be friends in general, and maybe the relationship doesn't have to have a sexual component to it either.
You know, you write that the concept of a friendship between the sexes that was a platonic one and not connected to romance, it didn't take hold until another wave of feminism, and that started in the 1960s. How did that idea really begin to develop then?
Right. Again, I mean, I don't think in the 60s the idea of friendship was sort of something that feminists demanded. But what they did demand, which was equality in every sphere of life, that's what enabled us to reach the point where friendships between men and women could be common, could be normal, and I hope ultimately will be something that we no longer roll our eyes about.
It isn't the case, though, Bill, that so many platonic friendships are really situations where one person is attracted while the other is not, and that keeps the two people in a platonic state. You know, some people would call it being put in the friend zone.
Right. You know, some people have said that to me, and yes, I think that that's true. Sometimes I think that that can end up being a good friendship anyway, especially if the person in the friend zone maybe wises up, realizes it's not going to happen, and ends up with a different partner. But I also think that, look, a lot of times it's not like that. It's not just, you know, I only like you as a friend. It's that, you know, it wasn't going to be that kind of relationship anyway. Like I said, people just, sometimes they're not even attracted to each other, but they like each other as friends. Or whatever it is.
Now, there are, of course, many men and women here in the U.S. that really cannot imagine being able to have a platonic relationship with the opposite sex. What would you say they're missing out on, and what can they do to maybe shift their viewpoint?
Well, I mean, I think they're missing out on a lot. I think friendships with members of the opposite sex can be really great, just like any other friendships. You know, I think members of the opposite sex in some ways can understand you better or in different ways than people of the same sex. What you can do about it, I mean, I think maybe the most important thing is just to be open to it and not think of people of the opposite sex only as sex objects or as these alien creatures or whatever is getting in the way.
Isn't some of that, though, how you're raised and maybe the interactions you have growing up with the opposite sex? And doesn't that ultimately kind of allow you to view those of the opposite sex in a way that's more platonic maybe than others?
Yeah, look, you're right. I mean, I think, you know, for a lot of people, unfortunately, it may be too late. I think the good news is that young people are not growing up with these kinds of attitudes. As I sort of see it, college students, whatever, I think it's become very normal, and they are being raised in the way that you just, you know, suggested.
Bill Derezowitz, find his piece in the New York Times today, his book, A Jane Austen Education. Bill, thanks so much for joining us this evening.
Okay, thanks very much.